is November the 14th, and I've already got the recorder going. Bobby, are you in? Well, you either got it, somebody's not willing to announce that they are. How's it going, Dave?
How day by day.
You're sounding a whole hell of a lot better.
Well, I haven't been drinking at all. Stomach sacks and all. A few other things. I'm gonna go back to the doctor and get some better medicine. It took me off all the heavy duty, which helped me mentally, but it didn't help me physically, if you understand what I'm saying. Stomach was acting up to me, blowing up many times a day. I just got better for that. Better sleeping pills. It's getting slowly better. But I still, you know, sleep for hours. You know, not up 100% all night long.
Well, that's good.
Was 4th of July.
That was the last time?
It's
a stretch,
but you only live, you know, 5 minutes from here.
Hello?
Yeah, it's me.
It's shipping on me, that's fine. Diane will get in just a bit.
Download what did you say?
WinApp.
WinApp.
I get, and I don't have problems with it by comparison to, yes, it does. Yeah. Hello?
Hi.
Who? Oh, Eric.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if it was you or if it was Pete.
How are you, Charlotte?
Hey there, it's Bobby. Bobby, me, Pete, Ernie, Shippo, Diane, I think I got everybody right.
Hello? who's all in?
Oh, John Lewis got the monster.
It's Bobby, me, Diane, Dave, Bob, you, and me at the moment.
Everything?
Eric. Sorry, Eric. My apologies.
Okay. But did you say the gate?
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Patrick too. And I think I missed Patrick before, but she went on mute. Oh. My apologies, Patrick.
Well, it's okay. I'm not on mute. I'm still here.
Wake up, dog!
Girl, I've been working my little black ass off all day. What you been doing?
Watching football. Don't see it. Take a thought. Go back on mute. Go back to sleep.
Please, I'd like to. But I won't.
Is there anything in the email that... go with the lesson?
No.
Okay.
Prison camp was excellent. Of course, everything that he's done has done pretty good.
Well, next week's show, he's got the deathbed confession for JFK.
That's going to be a joke.
Not really, because it's all kind of intertwined with what's going on today. If they can take the president out, pull off 9/11.
Whoa. Don't you know who shot JFK?
Yeah, the Fed.
Huh?
Yeah. And I meant the AED. If that's what you're getting at.
Uh-huh.
They were all right to the right rails, weren't they?
It worked.
Maybe he'll get in.
Unless something went sour with him. The way they're jackassing with the rest of us, they sure as hell won't excuse him if they can get to him.
Eric, just out of curiosity while we're waiting, are you at a computer or have access to a computer when you can get online?
Yeah, I'm online right now.
Would you do me a favor and go to the anointed, the elect, and the damned.com and tell me when the page comes up?
Okay. while, no? And you got some graphics on there?
No, sir. Let's see. Danny, do you by any chance have access to a computer where you can look at something online? Would you go to the anointed, the elect, and the damned.com and tell me how long it takes to come up? I don't really care. I just want to see it. And then how long did it take? It was about 30 seconds?
It's still loading.
It's still loading.
Just came up.
Well, that bitch has got a bigger crown than Grand Ole Opry.
That's too long. And there's nothing that I can tell that it should be taking that long.
That graphic, the whole house of Judah, did you check to see the size of that image? There's an example, bottom cord, curse, the whole house of Judah, that thing, the skin.
Those are little bitty
files.
They're little bitty files.
What's the exact size of it?
I'll tell you in just a second. That's a fuck around that we've been really experiencing this week.
Do we all get to see the bug with
And Danny, how long did it take you to get in?
I'm booted up yet. Give me another minute.
Kitty, are you available to check? The reason I'm checking with you is because the rest of us are Comcast users.
I just popped it in. I'm using Google, that
Java code up top of the marquee. Sometimes those things are slow to load down.
It's taking a long time on my machine, too.
Now, there you go. Alright, if you're going by way of Google, I'll go by Yahoo search.
Hello, Papa.
Hello.
Hi.
Just pop in. Less than a minute, yeah.
What's the size of that gift,
Sean? I'm trying to find it. I think I know what some of the problem is. Thank you. Bonnie, I just wanted to check on that, especially from different servers.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, now I'm up.
Okay. Thank you all for checking.
Well, I have 7 after. This can be a little bit of a long session. Nothing to worry about. Alright, DOA. DM, 14th of November 2010. 7 Kislam, 5771. We're going to do some reversals of the elements, the planes, and the depths. But first, we're going to do blue swords. The first thing on our training rehearsal agenda is our best personal offensive and defensive weapon, the endless supply of blue swords. All aware of the coming engagements with high-level demons, demonic-possessed Nephilim, and Nephilim living and dead. Last Sunday, everybody should have learned the differences and how to discern them. So let's get on with the blue swords many of you have used, and some of you haven't had all the success you'd like. Okay, let's recap. I established blue swords in all the lower spiritual realms from Havana down, and to be detectable and effective in the earth plane. It's impossible to run out of them if they're made out of what would otherwise be called free energy, the star stuff, mostly dark matter and dark energy, that comprise most of creation. I set the energies to form a double-edged blade, similar to the Roman gladius, only with a wider guard. The optimum place to formulate them is the solar plexus, heart, and throat chakras, a line extending from just below the navel to the neck. To retrieve a blue sword, simply grasp it by the hilt. You will find it immediately upon reaching for it, and pull it free by swinging your arm outward just like a gate swings on its hinges. Pulling a blue sword as you would a nice sword or saber out of a sheath is jackass, and you can do considerable harm to yourself. Now, blue swords can be weighted to balance as you wish. Just it lays flat, both cutting edges to your right and left before you draw it, laying the tip of it flat into the palm of your hand shouldn't require any degree of intelligence. When you lay the tip flat in the palm of your other hand, you can feel the cold of a very strange and very competent metal. This is normal. And if you want the blade a bit longer, simply move your hands farther apart. The blade will lengthen without effort. You can make it heavier or lighter to your taste. The hilt and handle will generally already be set to your body and hand size, but if you're into a real slicing effort, and you know it's coming, a bit of prep won't hurt. Other than the length of the weapon determined by your body height, you can modify a blue sword to just about any degree. You can also make a battle axe out of it by simply extending the flanges to the length of the side blade you want, one or both. Now they're all but indestructible. And should you manage to break or lose one, there's another just like it, ready in the same instant. They're incredibly sharp, strong enough to easily pierce virtually anything of all heavenly armor, and can be charged with the constant air, fire, water, and earth, any one or all, by simply invoking the correct terms. Okay. On my command, Agurians, retrieve a blue sword. Gently, place the tip flat ways in the palm of your other hand, and you can feel the cold tip, including its shape, instantly. It's not like handling a cold chisel or a hatchet, a bit more subtle, but there, nevertheless. I've never had a failure with anyone who followed my instructions. Those who know so much and insist on some dandy dance rather than swinging the sword out always have some jackass problem or failure, and they've created that for themselves. With the tip of the blade in your other hand, adjust it to your personal preference by pulling the hilt to the desired length. If you want a larger or smaller handle, open and close your hand accordingly. Want a heavier blade? Bounce the tip gently. Blue sword will instantly oblige. Now, Durant, hold your blue sword where you think you can feel the hilt and heft the blade. Now, on my command, just think the word Akasha, and you'll feel the shift in the nature of the sword. Nothing hot, cold, heavy, or light, just different, as if it had just changed materials. As from metal to glass, glass to wood, or some such. On my command, think the word air into your sword, and it instantly wants to move. It's almost as if this became a living entity of its own accord. Now when I tell you, I want you to throw your sword as far as you can manage, but keep your hand open. Ready? Throw! Now think the word, here. And instantly that sword hilt is back in your hand. Just like the legend of Forrest Hammer. When charged with a conscience and air, you can throw it around the moon, or through it, and retrieve it at better than the speed of light. Prepare to do just exactly that on my command. But first, consciously locate the moon, using the same process you used a few weeks ago to do Tel Aviv. In case you're wondering, it's just about overhead. You can locate the sun, moon, planets, or anything else in creation with practice of that bit of knowledge. Now I hope you've practiced it, because now you're going to need it. And you're going to need it a hell of a lot more as this Nephilim socialist rage continues. Next, I want you to be cognizant of your sword so you can track it in its flight. The impact, follow it through the moon until it emerges on the other side, and then recall it. If anyone wants to keep track of the time, you'll find the whole process will take less than a second, there, through, and back. And since the moon's about a quarter of a million miles out, light would take 2.688 seconds. Everybody ready? Target moon. On my command, throw. Now keep its flight in mind, and you can track it every inch of the way. Let me know when you have your sword back in hand. We're not through with it yet.
Done.
That's a bit wild, isn't it?
Done.
Think the word apologies into it, and you can feel the blade begin to anticipate your moves, as if it were just slightly of where you want the blade to go. After it, you'll see a decided difference. But now never, under any conditions, invoke a divinity, angel, etc., into a blue sword. Never. However, you can inject a demon on those occasions when one of you some bastard like Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, George Soros, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Dick Cheney, both George Bushes, David and Jay Rockefeller marrying for a field cushion, then using them for a thin cushion is quite fashionable for a curious. Now they can't escape and they can't remove the blade and they can't do a damn thing about it that you can't retaliate against a thousand times over. So don't spare the bastards. Next, charge your blade with fire and note the instant change in its feeling composition. As if it changed materials, metal to glass, glass to wood, and some such, it changed again from what it was. Charge it with a south wind no day, and it'll seem to want to burst out of itself. You have to feel the difference. This is a whole new blade than the one you had a minute ago. Now charge it with water, and it'll appear to calm down a bit, as if it were trying to be a bit more responsible. But it actually is now a very precision and dependable weapon. Fill it with the west wind Zephyrus, and it'll seem to settle into your hand as if made for it, which incidentally it was. Now there's some dramatic changes in blue swords when properly charged. Last, charge your sword with earth, and now it's not only a very precision weapon, it has become your precision weapon. strike it with the north wind blows, and you will instantly have recognition that this blade absolutely will not work for, serve, or obey anybody else. Though limited to the lower heavens from the side of down, it can and will hit whatever you target, even on the far side of creation, and do the damage you require of it. Any problem won't be with a weapon, it'll be with you. Now, blue swords can be charged with a lot of things. Righteous power, holy authority, if you want to defend. All damnations of the Most High. Unbridled hate, burning rage or fury, however you want to call that. Merciless violence, exacting vengeance, intent to kill, immediate death, abject failure, public disgrace, abject poverty, insurmountable debt, terminal and incurable disease, certified insanity, or just plain stupid, you can make it any way you want. And as you can imagine from here, the list is potentially, creatively endless. Blue swords are easy to get, fast to adapt, and extremely dangerous to the victim. We have a few of those in mind, and we're going to discuss them at the end of this instructional. Are there any questions? Anybody having a problem with it?
Hell no.
Okay, take something off the bench you don't like. You can start with George Soros in this case, and follow it. It doesn't matter. Locate him, and let him have all of them.
This is being recorded, is that correct?
Yes, it is, honey.
Okay, so I can always pick up where I just came in.
Yes, not a problem.
Okay, after we locate it, we just throw it?
Just throw it right into our next stick. I don't care where you're getting with it, just hit it.
I feel bad if you chance it at the top of your head.
That's what I did.
How did I know that beforehand?
Yeah, talk about being a sharp operator.
That didn't even take prophecy skill.
Yeah, go to the hill, please. Look at that stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'll go in and be nailing Michelle Obama.
Oh, yeah, we got to get her.
We will, all in time.
We can't even think we can teach y'all twisted tea to have no bad.
Excuse me?
We can teach y'all twisted after you stay in there. But...
Oh, I already did that. Me? Stay around in there.
Okay, Charlie.
Okay.
Now for some much needed rehearsal. We're going to do the grand elements. But we need to catch up on it. Some of your jackass, you're flying, like these things are flower petals or something. But are they right or wrong, doesn't matter. Well, it does. Now, Akasha, this is where we're going to start. But let me tell you, the great elements of air, fire, water, and earth have similar spirit quarks. Any limitations, even in ignorance, put on any element is first obeyed by these spirit quarks. Now let me repeat that. Any limitations, even in ignorance, put on any great element is first obeyed by these spirit quarks. Before any manifestation of any of the great elements can take place, there must be a conscience, room to exist, and it is completely devoid of spirit quarks and everything else. In fact, there's nothing in an acoustic manifestation except room, unoccupied space. No energy, no sound, no smell, no solids, nothing. The experience of a conscience gives a whole new meaning to the word silk. Even the smallest amount of Akasha is able to contain anything and everything you want to put in. The basketball belly ball size spirit manifestation we make virtually all the time is capable of holding everything within the visible universe without straining or stretching its outer perimeters. Now all great elements need buffering of the other three. have a misconception of what these brain elements actually work like and what they're doing and when they're doing whatever it is we designed them to accomplish. They are not made of, but all are essentially contained quarks. Each has its own type of quark. Particles that are usually only our family heads of all they do. That such a quadrant extends beyond itself into the following three quadrants should be obvious. That is one of the reasons for always calling up, invoking, in the same order as given. First, a conscious to make room to exist. Second, air to put the objective into motion. Third, fire to expand the objective. Fourth, water to control the process and the objective of the immediate, and when it didn't manifest in the fifth earth, where all things become solid and real, including the circumstances. You need all five of them. Are there any questions? Okay. Now each of the great elements are commanded by the minor archangel. And unlike the seraphim, only has seven left out of the original 24, there are several hundreds of thousands of archangels, all with their own specific chains of command in addition to their seeming parallel counterparts. Now there are other seraphim, but the seven that are in front of the veil are those that remain of the original 24. There are scads of other seraphim, but not ranking with the seven. Now the archangels are the same way, and there's a whole lot more of them, it seems like. But there are technically 516 second officers to each level of command as presented in the order and order of angels that we did dated 62 to 2006 Pathfinders. Now, what is not completely explained in that instructional, lest it become unmanageably ponderous, is the fact of 516 points of knowledge, of 516 levels of competence each, and they have to be addressed for learning one at a time. Now, let me show you where you are. The 10 major orders of angels, first the seraphim, second the cherubim, third is archangels, fourth is angels, fifth is powers, sixth is authorities, seventh is thrones, eighth is dominions, ninth is principalities, and tenth is virtues. Now since archangels are third from the top in the major order of ten, it's easy to understand why I'm so many millions upon millions of divine entities in the service of the Most High. 516 levels of degrees of competence times 516 degrees of knowledge with 516 parallel applications for each rank and 516 ranks per grade. The energy count goes off the mathematical scale with the required knowledge, intelligence, and experience levels. But take note of that last one, number 10, the order of virtues. You're just beginning to develop into your own virtue, and we know how little competence we have with that. And look where the archangels are. They're number 3 on that humongous knowledge of power scale. That should give you some appreciation of who they are and what they do for us. Now when you call them, do so with great respect and admiration. They've earned both a billion times over our capacity to understand, and our having a bit of courtesy won't deprive us of anything. We'll do an in-depth on each of them as we progress, and the winds and servant winds and the angels we invoke all the time. They, too, are a fascinating subject. For now, we're going to concentrate on the great elements, the plains of heaven, the depths of hell, and black fire. Primarily, this is but a rehearsal, all in one pile, in hopes of giving all of you a better understanding, grasp if you must, of what we're doing and what we're doing it with. I can talk forever and not accomplish a direct understanding and unloaded this instructional with scads of questions and answer opportunities. Remember, with me there are no stupid questions, only stupid people who don't ask them. And if you have all the information you can handle until you mentally digest more of it, I have no problem in answering your questions privately or when you're up to speed. Okay. Any questions?
Cameron, you said you'd tell us where we fit in that group of 10. Did you say we're in the virtues somewhere?
Yes, as a matter of fact, the last of the orders of angels is virtues, and you even have just got started using ours. So the archangels have us by a few grades in rank, and that's why I caution you to respect for all of them. Okay, let's get into air. Air is first and foremost of the great elements. At the risk of sounding digressive or making air into something hard physical, which it is not, let's look at some known facts. Now take a small quantity of air in either hand and study it for a few seconds. And note, it's filled with smaller particles of energy of all kinds and shapes imaginable. And you can feel these air particles, air quarks, like shaking salt in your hand with your hand tilted to permit the salt particles to fall free. Feel it. It's almost like sand or something. And you can feel the impact, and you can feel them leave. It is these air quarks of spirit energy, dark matter and dark energy if you must, that are the incidental impacts of any air invocation. In short, they arrive first. The spaces between them are holes, and these holes are but spirit energy falls, like the invisible force of two magnets. It is these air quarks and the east wind apologies that make spirit quarks come to the surface of all the other elements and causes, rather than permits, air to obey and accomplish its given qualities. Now in electronics, the higher the frequency, the farther to the outside of the conductor the signal gets. This is doing exactly the same thing because it's obeying exactly the same natural law. Are there any questions? Okay, this one, fire. Now fire is the second of the great elements, and is solely responsible for any and all movement and expansion everywhere in creation. Even though air is motion, it doesn't move until fire starts to expand it. As a matter of fact, as Kitty noted the other day, air is two-dimensional until you get fire in it. And once we have motion, we encounter heat in some form. Heat is the definable of all work done measured in calories or watts. And heat instantly creates some degree of expansion. Now, fire has very little to do with temperature, per se. It's hot and cold are the different measurements of the same thing. But take a small quantity of fire into either hand and note that it's filled with those similar, smaller particles of energy. But these are fire quarks. And it's this accumulated heat that makes the palms of your hands warm when you create a belly ball. It is these fire quarks and the south wind note that make the spirit quarks come to the surface of all the other great elements and causes, rather than permits, fire obey and accomplish its given qualities. Just like air. Okay, are there any questions? Okay, water. The third of the great elements. And its quality being control, without which there is only chaos. Each and every one of the four great elements are always affected by the other three, providing its own quality as appropriate. Water produces the absence of heat you feel when calling up a spirit or deceased in human life. It is this control factor of water and the west wind zephyrs that prevents any deception of a dead body and a living spirit. Remember that. It's one of the spiritual abilities you're going to need in the great tribulation now on the horizon. Take a small quantity of water. either hand, and that thing feels cool, as if wet, although you can clearly see your hand is dry. It is water quarks that permits making and moving a storm, shaking hell out of the earth even where there are no fault lines, spreading or extinguishing plants in bad weather, etc. All are applications of control via water. All control is vested in water. Are there any questions? Okay. Earth is the fourth great element. It has nothing to do with the planet, per se, except physical creation is the plane of Earth. The quarter of Earth is something entirely different. But its quality is inertia, stability, solidity, as the mass of station comes into being and begins to slow down in its frequency rate. Even light photons by which we have vision are manifest in Earth as detectable objects. The parallels of constant air, fire, and water are manifest in Earth as touchable, examinable, experimental, usable, and often expendable materials. Take a small quantity of Earth in the inner hand. And note that the Earth quarks seem to have weight, and you can feel the hardness and the heaviness. It's a subtle feeling, but it's there. Most people on the planet are as oblivious to the great element of Earth as those who continue under the delusion that because their head works, they know how to think. The Earth plane reaches into an unknown expanse of space, far beyond anything the scientific community even suspects. The Earth plane is where all expressions of manifestation are the easiest to examine. The matter seems to be pretty much motionless since we're traveling at the same speed that it is. The fact is, each and every circumstance anywhere in the Earth plane of creation is the end result of some previous, in most cases divine, thought. Each and everything that is manifest in physical creation, from the tiniest particle of the very quarks of material existence to the largest gatherings of the largest galaxies, is the end result of the applications of a constant and the great elements, air, fire, water, and earth. Most matter and energy that is known to exist, matter and dark energy, can't even be seen or detected by any scientific equipment at all. But it can only be predicted and evidenced by mathematics. Now, we're going to give you a quick practice recap. Make a manifestation ball as if it's stuck to the palm of either hand. Both hands are not necessary, but you can hold it in both hands if you want to. Now, repeat after me. Akasha, fill my spirit manifestation with room to exist. Now, speak only the word air, and instantly you'll feel the same air quark you did when testing it before. Now speak only the word fire, and instantly you will feel the heat of the fire quarks. Now speak the word water, and as quickly as you turn on the heat of fire, you see an instant coolness of that water. Now speak only the word earth, and you can feel the instant heaviness of the instant essence of earth. That quick. That easy. Alright. 1, 2, 3. Break. Are there any questions? Alright. I will assume you know all about everything there and go on with the lecture. Now let's take a look at the plains of heaven and the depths of hell. From the top down. The most astounding fact of spiritual knowledge is every soul has a spiritual body for each and every plane of existence. It's normally called an astral body due to its star-like golden quality. The composite of all your bodies is called the oversoul, which can deliver a great deal of protection unless you're hell-bent on doing something stupid or evil. That there is more than one heaven completely astounds the Christians, despite the fact in their own Bible, Corinthians 12, documents Paul, Acts Note that when you read the chapter, the author repeats the part about in the body, out of the body, indicating that he didn't remember at the time where the man was out and the author was in. The author was out and the man was in, or they were both out, or they were both in, since it had been more than 14 years before he wrote this down. Even a cursory reading will make this point very clear to anyone who will read it without closed-minded pagan Christian horseshit and injection. And even so, there are many planes of heaven. The difference between the planes of heaven and depths of hell are primarily their specific vibration rates or frequency range. In layman's terms, they're somewhat like the channels of a television or broadcast frequency or radio. Even to the fact that all the available signals are present in the antenna at the same time. The planes of heaven and the depths of hell all occupy the same space at the same time. Generally speaking, they are separated only by their different frequencies, but the physical earth plane is the gulf between heaven and hell. This physical earth plane is accessible to angels and demons alike, and will remain so until the binding at or following Shiloh. However, those that are under judgment, either the hell or the heavens, cannot cross this earth plane gulf in either direction, because the etheric body dissolves within 2 or 3 days following death. Now think about that. They can see and communicate across the earth plane, but that's all. They can't get down here and appear anymore unless they have help. And Lucifer often supports some to communicate with people who are still alive on earth. The planes of heaven that you will initially be concerned with are those immediately above the earth plane. The depths of hell will consider in this course a study and will go all the way down. Are there any questions?
Yes, I have a question. You mentioned souls.
Yes.
Now, not everyone has a soul.
True.
So how does that work together, or it does not work with people that do not have a soul?
Well, it doesn't work with a lot of them, that's for sure. The big problem being that in the world of other computer just blew down of its own accord. The big problem is that the average entity that doesn't have a soul can't get anywhere. They can, fortunately, get out to see the etheric plane. They can see etheric and deus, even the consciousness can do that. But, under the protection of someone with a seal in their forehead, we can take anybody up or down.
Okay.
Without any problem with them at all.
I have a question. You said that souls can't manifest below and upper and the etheric. What about ghosts? What's their condition? They're not being assisted by Lucifer, but they're just earthbound.
And most of them are nothing more than light counterfeits. Lucifer counterfeit of most of this stuff. As a matter of fact, they got caught trying to counterfeit our bodies of light that we're making and our spirit manifestations and got the royal hell kicked out of them. So they won't be doing that one again. Seems that the archangels that we put into the last manifestations we were doing, of those seven swords, take a damn view of being counterfeited. So they put a stop to that one. But yes, under control, of which Lucifer is very good. We're very good, but not as good as Lucifer. You can make a spirit, or as Lucifer will do, he'll provide them the energy, and they'll build you anything he wants you to know. well. So you'll have that spirit entity tell you what you think you want to know, just so they can maintain the hallelujah poppycock. But a consciousness of its own cannot go below Deimos or above Aethor without someone like us taking the mantle. But when they die, that's a whole new world. Now they're in a judgment factor, just like any soul is. And if they haven't done anything that good or that bad, so to speak, they usually just dissolve out.
And those are the ones without a soul, correct?
Right. Those that just have a consciousness.
Uh-huh.
But remember, the Most High said, when he was talking about making himself out of himself, and then the death of speaking to every living entity, he didn't necessarily call it a soul. We may have translated it that way. If we did, we got to correct it. But every living entity, consciousness, everything that comes together, has an innate, and they still talk to that innate. So they're not immune. And of course, a ghost can be a sentenced entity. Sometimes they get sentenced. They have to haunt the same place, go through the same thing. Over and over and over and over again.
Is that why I kept seeing the tribes go through the house?
Yeah, probably. See, this whole mesa here in Albuquerque, both of them, were once sacred ground. 20,000 years ago, they were breaking pottery in the ceremonies down at Las Lunas, because that's where the moon danced. All it is the air inversion layer coming over the Monsanto Mountains. But to them, it was sacred ground. And these were all training areas. Where I live here in South Valley was in the middle of the Atrisco, and it's where they would camp and train. And there's junk all over the place here. But yes, that's what you have here.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Hazana is the highest heaven and the lowest abstract plane you can reach without special knowledge and proven spiritual capabilities. Hazana means the highest in angelic. And it's about as far down as most heavenly entities come of their own accord. And about as far up as the demons venture that have the power to get even that high. The abstract planes in the high realms above the Zana are so many they do not even have names. They don't even have titles in any physical language. Even so, in the Zana you can communicate with high beings. Getting them to communicate with you is the problem. And once you are spiritually adept and about the business of this holy order, that will change. In the meantime, don't even attempt to waste their time with your soap opera. Be about this business, and you can dispose of all their soap operas and undesirable life situations. And even if you get up there and start to talk to somebody, God damn it, discern it. Are there any questions? Okay. A karma, the next plane of heaven downward, is the karma, also known as the causal plane, and from which we get the word karma. And this plane of cause and effect is responsible for every situation on earth. It starts there. As for karma, that is the cop-out of the metaphysician who can't deliver. Just like when the Christians' powers of Jesus fail, they claim in chorus, you didn't believe enough. Well, metaphysicians can excuse your world gripping with any inabilities with, it's pure karma. But the causal plane is a little bit strange. The energies are there. You can tell they're very powerful, even though they're easily manipulated. That's just to charge yourself and go on and you know a little bit more about what the hell you're doing. Now, idia, beneath the karma, the causal plane, and it's also called the mental plane of heaven, from which we get the words id, meaning mind, an idea, meaning the revelation from the mind. And here you can see the So those are thoughts and thought forms. And they're doing this, getting ready to do that, getting out of doing the other. And here you can see the various colors that are absolute representations of the true situation and condition. A cancer is a cancer. It's not a walnut. Everything there, if you read the energy in the mental plane video, you will learn how to read every spirit energy there is, even up in the abstract. When you see colors way the hell up in the abstract, if a purple turtle is a purple turtle, in the abstract it will be exactly the same color. This is where you learn to read those. And every thought and action, same object, life form, and motive, has a specific color that tells exactly what it's all about, and in infinite detail, if you'll read it. When true psychic can read the human aura, it is these colors that give them their information. Now, this is going to seem a little bit out of place, but now we're talking about the Akashic records. Because near India, in the mental plane, there is a smoky blue-gray object. Looks like a long tunnel. It contains the Holy Scripts, all the heavens and all the earth. It's the Akashic records. Sometimes it appears to be above, sometimes below. It's just in the vicinity. But it's always there. Now, it's also known as the reflecting ether. You'll see that written on occasion. And primarily for the psychic community. And the Book of Life in the Bible. Now, you can enter it and travel both backwards and forwards in time. The past is unchangeable, but the future can be changed simply by changing one's thinking. Now, understand that. The past is recorded in infinite detail and cannot be changed. The future is recorded as past and present thinking will determine it to be if there are no efforts made to change the thinking. Now, travel along the reflecting ether is pretty simple matter, regardless of which direction you wish to venture. And in fact, you already have some experience in that respect. If you ever experience a familiar, you were talking to someone, visiting someplace under exact conditions that you realize you've done this before, knowing damn well you haven't. Now, it's called a deja vu. But in some instances, it would have been impossible to have had that experience prior to the familiar, where for a few seconds everything is like an instant replay. Now, the psychiatrists and psychologists claim it's everything else, but they're full of it. That's another layer of Jewish quackery. And they're caused by one of two such conditions, both requiring the person experiencing the deja vu to have been spiritually and mentally forward in time. In both the past, present, and future, you will walk around and through the images. And these are present and future, may change while you're looking at it, because of someone has changed their thinking, because it instantly changes to the thought. And those in the past cannot change, are forever frozen in time. And you'll find that you can't change so much as one iota of anything you see in the past. But you can sure see all the details. Are there any questions?
Yes, I have one. When you say we can change the future by a matter of thinking, is that like saying new location is the future result?
That is one way of doing it, yes. See, when we read an invocation, and this is a problem, some of us are just reading them instead of performing them as we read them. When we do that, we are putting energies in motion. Our conscious mind, body, soul, spirit, everything we are about us, our virtue, is taking this energy to do that accomplishment. So we are changing the future. Now, to what degree depends on how good we are at it or how jackass we go about it. If we're about the business, we've had a hell of a high standing. If we're out there with our hands in our ass, we bet virtually nothing, just like everybody else does. But if a person changes their thinking across the board, and I've seen it happen, and it looks almost miraculous, people finally get rid of the hallelujah horse shit. Suddenly they can think. They no longer have stress. They're no longer in all of this fear of death bullshit. Because they said, wait a minute, this is pure, unadulterated poppycock. I don't go along with this anymore. I want a clean mind. I want the truth, warts and all. And this gathering is an example, every one of you. So, yes, we can change the future. But that's how you change it. Everything that's already happened has happened. But we don't have to live with it. We can go on. Okay. Testosterone. Just below the middle plane are the two planes that most confuse as being a one. Testosterone and astral. The higher and lower astral planes. Now, testosterone and astral are the names in angelic. And you can tell them apart by simply relaxing and looking at the background. So they're just flowing globs of light, shapeless blobs like potatoes, for instance, only every color you can imagine. And if you look at the background, just don't have to stare even. If you're in a lower astral plane, the background color will be solid black. But if you're in the upper one, it'll be solid white. And otherwise, they look pretty much the same. And contrary to popular belief, from both of these planes, you can see about everything that's on the Earth plane. And from the astral, the lower astral, that's the one that has all the scenes portrayed in the major arcana of tarot cards. If you haven't seen a deck, go by a metaphysics shop or something and just look at a deck and you'll see what I'm talking about. Now, are there any questions? Okay. Now, Hathor is the plane that we get when we just project out or close our minds and envision something. That's where it is. And it's called the Etheric plane, coming out of the ethers. There's that term, it's an age-old term. When we create something out of the ethers, it has to come down to the Etheric plane to get to the Earth plane. So that's why the mix-up in the names. And from this plane, you can see everything that exists on Earth. And those spiritual entities that are souls of every living thing, from a microscopic to the giant sequoia. Every living entity, everything has a color, an aura about it, and you can see it from this plane. Now, this is about as high as most psychics can see, and accounts for most of the blivid-headed, asinine, and inaccurate predictions. Now, Earth is the next plane, and I hope you're familiar with it, because, well, some people are. They don't know that when they sit down on the grass, they're sitting on our ass on Earth yet. They haven't got that much intelligence yet. Now, since both the Etheric plane, Hathor, and the Deerus depth overlap, the Earth plane, and it's about like having an area of their own, nothing escapes the side of heaven or hell. But if you look at them, there's about 10% of the top of it that is pure Hathor, and about 10% below the bottom that is pure Deerus. And in the middle, which takes up about 40%, is the Earth plane. Now, from these two planes, we can do any direction we want, but you're going into one to do the other one anyhow. Okay, Deimos is the first depth of hell below Earth, where the consciousness descends at depth when influenced by drugs, narcotics, or a soap opera suicide. Now, those who give their lives in an attempt to save somebody else, like in combat or defensive, God's holy walls, go up to the Zana. They do not go out there, ever. And from this level of hell, comes most of the Ouija board communication, but certainly not all of it. The material of both the etheric plane and the Deros step can be seen from Earth or physical plane and are usually the manifestations experienced by those people who return from clinical death, poo-pooed as near-death experiences by the medical community. When you look at something to test your third eye with, by putting a red spot or something, or a red pen on a white sheet of paper, when you look at that, you're seeing that in the etheric plane. You're seeing the energy that is that particular color. So it's real easy to do. When you look at someone and see their aura, you're seeing their etheric and Deros aura. It'll be in one of those two levels. Are there any questions? Okay. The Naka. The next step is Naka. And it's from here that the bearded Jesus, carrying the next spirit form to be seen and communicated with during seances or Christian religious experiences. It's an ideal dip for Lucifer to perform, as your authority is in any question. And the material can be taken or sent up to the earth level without leaving a trace of its origin and intent in the higher heavens, except in the Akashic records. That activity is still recorded there. Are there any questions? Hadesi. The third depth is Hadesi, and this is where the actual earned karma is clarified in the minds of those souls that shall suffer only for a short season. It's this depth where a consciousness is held when bound in a dead body, even if the body has been cremated. Command Marshal General D. Sharon Bunniger and I released untold millions of such trapped souls last April 10, 2007, in that incident that we found out had been predicted by Nostradamus. Now the horrors of that situation are nothing when compared to the next step. But countless entities and souls are needlessly bound here by being prayed for in the name of Jesus, and after funerals having the body coffin or grave sprinkled with holy water or holy oil made by any other process than Mosaic law. Or being buried, which includes disposition of cremated remains, into your certain hope of the resurrection that really won't be so damn pleasant for those who are only going to be resurrected to stand final judgment. This is where all those who died and crossed were duly crossed by that great Babylonian harlot of Rome's minions get to spend a very long and agonizing tour, even if they get the crossing themselves. Make no mistake about these demonic and vile processes. And when they're there, by the way, yes, some people get a very rough repose. They get ironed out there first. Now, Gehenna. And the next step down. Gehenna is where those who permit such sufferings to be inflicted upon those undeserving pay the penalty for it. So you won't find any priest or hallelujah half-wit in that upper one. You'll find them here. Gehenna was also the name of the huge garbage dump outside the city walls of Jerusalem that burned night and day for over 600 years and was often used as a visual example of hell. Now, since I destroyed the Temple of the Sages on the Day of the Anointing, all those who were formerly punished here, nuns, priests, members of the Masonic Knights of Columbus, lodges and temple, Israel, except judges and attorneys, Rosicrucians, Satan and demonic orders of witches and sorcerers, including Wicca, now burn here, along with all those Christians who have deluded themselves with self-hypnosis into thinking they've been saved and were baptized with the Holy Spirit truth. Which if they had, they wouldn't be participants in a Babylonian paganistic practices in direct violation of holy law, of which praising Jesus is one, Sunday Sabbath being another. Are there any questions? Helena is the next lower depth, and it's mainly the first level of sugar in them long enough and without let up, you'll sell your only child or your saintly grandmother for just one moment of relief. And you will be put on a performance of such perfection that Academy Award winners would look like kindergarten DTA production by comparison. When Luke sends someone from here, I guarantee you they are damn convincing. Are there any questions? Okay. Hepertum. Below this depth is Hepertum, where all good creations, hypocrites, adulterers, rapists, thieves, murderers, with the exception of official murderers, evidence manufacturing police, knowing prosecutors, knowing intent attorneys, court judges, etc. Abusers of children, lesbians, homosexuals who perform the acts, and all those that do not call injustice into account are sent in eternal condemnation. This is where we get our word purgatory, and where we get the legend of sulfuric and burning brimstone. However, just one smell or look at this place and you realize that it's not a legend, it's a fact. And the horrific temperature is just the most pleasant part of the situation there. If you're in, you know, because this is where we throw the bastards into hell from. Now, the Catholic Church says, well, they can pray them out of purgatory. No, they can't. They act Catholic or anyone alive that can pray anybody out of purgatory once they deserve to be there. Even we can't do it. Are there any questions? Okay, Perdita, the very bottom. Perdita, you can look down into this depth where supremacists, socialists, communists, fascists, Marxists, liberals, race veterans, politicians, and other traitors, court judges, attorneys, corrupt accountants, bureaucrats, manipulators, enslavers, child abusers in all levels, priests, ministers, preachers, and other liars, and all the false prophets and false theologians burn in a horrible and indescribable suffering. And you can note that I said, look down and see down into this depth, and that's exactly what I mean. Look down into it. This is the sanctuary of Lucifer, and without space and knowledge from here, no victim ever returns. You have to know what the hell you're doing. Never get down there and jackass, because you can quite get trapped, but if you do, I am not coming down to get you. You are going to stay there for the tour. It takes special knowledge and considerable power to even be escorted past this place, so take warning. Well, carefully, old fool, for even angels of the presence do not venture brazenly. Now, I will take you down to the birth. I never take any of you into the depth of Perdita, even though I go in myself to lift hell out when we're doing hell vaults. You'll note, I never take any of you with me. And from now on, you should all have a better understanding of both the great elements, planes of heaven and the depths of hell. When you combine them in your charging bodies of light and make the most of the energy and the firepower of them. Black fire. Next, are there any questions? Okay. Last but never least is the composite ash residue at the center of the sun, left over from all the ages of nuclear fission. The most important thing to remember about black fire is when you use it and when to avoid it like the plague. Charging a manifestation you intend to raise hell with is one thing, but never take black fire into hell attached to yourself. Black fire is an added ingredient that makes most invocations of testimony into invocations of extreme power, so it must be handled very carefully. And it has a strange ability about it. The smaller amount you use of it, it seems the better it works. It's like it gets in the way of itself if there's too much. I taught Shiloh how to use black fire a few years back. We had one of the most beautiful weather days in the morning the top of Turkey had ever seen, was predicted to stay that way all day long. Bloody Gorky. I taught her how to use black particle, used just a little, of course she got a handful. Unloaded on the weather, and by 3 o'clock this place was an absolute goddamn mess. There was hail on the ground, it was like snowbank. It just came out of nowhere. Wind, storm, hail, fury, lightning, just raising all manner of hell. And of course I told you to use just a little. Every weather station that we have here, and all the weathermen on those stations, were astounded. This guy here by the name of Howard Morgan, he was a weatherman here for over 40 years, probably knows more about New Mexico weather than any living human ever knew, or ever will know for that matter. And he went on the air and said he had never seen anything like it. He had no idea what happened to the weather. And he's a master meteorologist. Had no idea what had happened that brought down all that storm, hell, rain, and fury. And, before he got over and I had to laugh, we knew exactly what happened. So, that's the essence of black fire. Very, very little. And sometimes we charge, sometimes we'll charge a body of light and put it in ourselves, especially if we want to heal ourselves. Because it'll work both ways. All right. Now, are there any questions? All right. Now I'll get everybody talking at once. At this point, we need to clarify some of our immediate targets and get some handle on the why. Initially, we've been already determined the first bastard is to be George Soros. And if you didn't get the email we sent out about it, let me know right now, and we'll get it to you. Chimon found a list of the organizations, all communist, all liberal, all socialist, that this guy finances. There are myriads of them, and we have to tear down every one of them, but we have to start with George Soros. Now there's a few others in that kick-ass bucket. We're going to get Warren Buffett, of course, the beloved Barack, Pelosi and Reed, they're all on that list too, needless to say. Along with Bernanke, he cannot be left out. What we're going to do is start at them one at a time. We're going to take the top 10. Surprisingly, Soros is first, and Bernanke is second if we don't put them in a twin situation. I prefer to do both of them the same day, first one then the other. Then it won't matter which one is first and second. These guys are the epitome of evil. Everybody get the email.
I got it.
I got mine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I have mine.
Take you off speakerphone so it may sound a little bit different.
Is that better? Hello?
Yes.
Okay.
Fine.
The thing is, when we start on, we're going to take the whole file, the builder burgers, every name we can get our hands on, which I think Alan Jones has them all. If he don't, he has enough. We're going to take out every one of those organizations, no exceptions. We're going to take out the Fed. We're going to take out the IRS. We're going to take out Homeland Security. The whole goddamn mess is going down the tubes. And we're not going to waste one shot in the process. Not one ounce of violence are we going to be provoked to. But before we get through with them, they're going to wish we had just got violent. But we fully intend to take them all down. I would like to take them all down while I'm still here, so I can give you the report when they show up in front of a table and protest their sentence. Well, I'm going to hold that one.
Why are we going to start this?
We have already started prep. As a matter of fact, we're probably going to use the seven swords, the late one we did, and add them in appropriate places where there's absolutely no way for them to escape at all. Nothing. And we can probably get more of them in one pile.
Is that the one, the seven swords we did a while back and we had all of those names on them, that one?
Yeah, this is the one where we made a manifestation of the seven swords. Before, we just had a list of the people that we put in a hell ball and floated them down.
This it's the one before that, yeah.
No, this one, we just had this one last week or so.
Oh, that one, okay.
And I'll send everybody another copy of it. I will try, as I have time and energy, to take the names that we're going to hit, the order we're going to hit them, the organizations that Patrice found for us. A bunch of those out there, wasn't there?
Oh, hell yeah, there were so many.
But we're going to hit them all. None of them are going to escape our perusal. I guarantee you, we are going to pound the living piss out of them, and we are going to take them out. We are not letting the world go down without a fight. And the moment we do that, we're going to be right in the middle of a super triggering of hell itself. I don't know whether any of you got a chance to watch Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory or not.
Yes, I did. Which one are you talking about?
The one that they had the millions of coffins, these four-body grave liners, with lids, and the so-called residence centers that nobody would talk about.
I didn't see that one. The last one I saw, he blew a hole in this whole economic situation of who really caused it.
Yeah.
Saw that one.
I'll
email the YouTube link to the last show.
Is the whole thing up on YouTube?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's in three parts.
Yeah,
and
okay.
I put it to my Facebook already.
Okay, email everybody the link. Or email it to me and I'll get it to everybody. Because what will happen, I've been talking about the Nephilim coming and doing an extermination that they're going to have to do if we don't do it for them. And that's exactly what's happening. They're going to exterminate of the millions. The thing is, when we start taking these sons of bitches out, they're going to prison. They're going to do epidemics. They're going to do everything. And they have no qualms, none at all, about nuking a city. In other words, they'll just mark off one if they don't like, for whatever reason, or anyone that they can get that will get the job done. And what they'll do, they're not above this, they'll take something like the Million Man March that Farrakhan did in Washington, D.C. a few years back, before he went stupid. And they'll lure people in by the millions, come in for this wing game. It won't be anything like a World's Fair or an Olympic gathering. It won't be anything that small. They'll put this thing in by the buku. There will be organizations come out of nowhere that will guarantee to get you there in your hotel rooms and get you back in the whole nine yards. Oh boy, they're just going to cut a fat hog in the ass. The only thing is, the attorneys know there's no such thing as kosher pork. And what they'll do, once they get this city full, the hell only knows how many millions will be there, including the organizational fantasies, the whole bit. They'll nuke it. Think about that. Think of some decisions will do that. And it's in the works. They're planning it.
And then they blame it on the terrorists.
Oh, yeah, some terrorists did that. Well, you'll put the AED that I mentioned, a piece of equipment that still doesn't exist. And that's the personal incoming missile detector that tells you where it came from. But that's what they're going to do. That is what they're planning. And the thing is, they may do two or three cities at the same time. And it wouldn't surprise me. They probably won't use a port city because they need a port. So they'll take some city inland. They don't need the Chicago port, surprisingly. But they do need Detroit. Well, think about that for a minute. If they took some of the area, Chicago, down as far as Birmingham, or Erie, really, Erie, Indiana, if they took that whole area and nuked it properly, and I had a great big black hat together, because that is primarily a high black population. I think it's about 60-70% of the cities, Gary and Chicago both now, that are high black population. I think Washington, D.C. is over 90. Well, they'll take those because they won't visit these people anyhow. And they'll nuke that son of a bitch. And they'll lure everybody they can get in there. But what they'll do, so you will know, they'll be busting in the hippies, the dope addicts, the halfway house people. They'll do the same thing politically, but with the political people out in the world that Hitler did with the insane asylums. He took the mental institutions, the insane asylums, and exterminated the patient population so that he could have all the hospitals and so forth, all those medical facilities for the German people, primarily his own. Now that son of a bitch will do that. And they've got the right guy in California now to set it up. They can take any one except for the port cities. They'll take one of the inland cities, but they might write off Los Angeles to get rid of that whole mess in one shot. And when they hit it, they won't hit one like we did at Nagasaki and Hiroshima. We had a thing a long time ago. When I was in the Air Force, they were still operational and brand new. And they're still out there. It's called the MIRV. M-I-R-V. And what it is a multiple warhead intercontinental ballistic missile. And it'll have 10 warheads in it. Well, you take 10, and you don't need 10 megatons, but they'll use them. You take 10 megatons of these, that's 100 billion tons of explosive energy going off within a microsecond, scattered over, say, Gary, Indiana, all the way to Chicago. How many people do you think that would take out?
Now, are we talking nuclear warheads and with nuclear fallout that goes out for miles and miles around?
Right. Once it blows up, now you've got all that stuff in the air.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the radioactive rapture for the Christians. And the bastards are planning that. So that what they can't get on the ground, they'll get relief. Oh, we'll bust you over here. We'll just have a big time. We've got your food, we've got your lodging, we've got everything, and we've got the medicine for you to cure you and all this kind of stuff. All you've got to do is let us put you in this bus.
Get you in the air.
Right. And they take care of everybody at one time. Right. Or, and this is another setup, and it's coming on now. We just went through one. They can do it with the chemtrails. They've already caught them on that one. And, of course, they didn't know that there's a way around some of it. And it takes a couple of days to shake it off.
You mean a chemtrail?
Yeah, a chemtrail out of an aircraft. If you've ever looked up and seen a jet leaving a trail behind itself, those normally last a few seconds, a minute or two at most, 5 minutes at the outside. But now you've got chemtrails where they're putting chemistry in that fuel, and as it's burnt, it's dispersed out the engines, and those trails last for hours. And then you find right underneath of them, right along those trails, you find tracks of health disturbances. So the ones that we got hit with were primarily what we all of us had to call. Everybody in the God, I've still got some of mine. I think I got it again. But they got the Andrea and Omaha. But I cracked one flight, and they flew it at night so no one would see. It took off from Austin, Texas, and flew all the way across, went over Dallas, Fort Worth, and then went over Houston, out, and didn't touch Galveston, then came back in, got New Orleans, Atlanta, and then flew south. It went over Jacksonville, and then went on down and landed at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa. And the chemistries they're using are micros, neuros, actually. I call them all neural motors because they're each little motor, or each little particle is a piece of a motor that runs. It does what they tell it to do. They make chemicals that way. They make transceivers, all kinds of goddamn stuff, and turn it into just about anything they want once it's in your system. And remember, this stuff is down at like subcom level. That is bad news. So they can drop an epidemic on the whole damn nation or any part of it they want, any time they want.
Is that in coordination with this swine flu thing that they're given? Is it?
Yeah.
Or is that just another method?
Right. It just depends on how they look at it at the time. But they've got them all. If one doesn't work, they'll use the next one. they want to use or reduce the entire planet to no more than 500 million people. But they don't want to destroy all the planet in doing it. In other words, they want a planet left when they get through that is not totally destroyed. But they have no qualms about killing as many people as it takes. Or wiping out wildlife, whatever. What they don't tell you about the seed bank that they built, was it in Norway? In Sweden or someplace up in that neck of the woods, I forget the island that they put it on, where they put the seed bank. They tell you how many millions of seeds that they stockpiled, supposedly putting them there. What they didn't tell you is how many sperm banks they've had of microbes, everything disabled, all of it, is stored there. So they can bring it all back at their leisure.
Yeah. They did that on the History Channel. They call it Noah's Ark. They said that's what Noah's Ark was.
Yeah. Well, what they don't tell you is that they not only put the seeds in there, the wheat, the onions, and the potatoes, they also put all the genes that they need. Uh-huh. Right. So when they want to wipe out mankind, and if it gets out of the way, it'll take everybody. And it's going to get out of the way. They've got to contend with the religious fanatics. And I don't know which are the worst when it comes down to fanaticism. The goddamn Jews when they have a stranglehold, or the goddamn Catholic Church when it had one, or these goddamn psychopathic Muslims. You shake them up, and they're all alike. And unfortunately, they're the bastards that are going to put the crap in the style.
All right, these are the bastards that we have to get rid of, right?
Right, but we've got to start where the problem is, and it starts in socialism. And when you start the socialism, you think you find a bunch of poor people running around wanting to work. No, 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 no. That's the end result of socialism. That's where the illegal immigrants are coming across our border to try to get away from the Marxist economy of Mexico. That's what that's about.
Mm-hmm.
What these people are about, these are all rich people at the top saying, hell, we only need 500 million people, we can live in luxury. They need enough to service the planet, but they don't want any more than that then. And of course, they are the ones who would help do all the thinking for us. And the bastards are about it. It's on the clock. Why in the hell would they have millions of multi-body grave liners if they didn't intend to fill them with something?
I have a question, Bonnie.
Yes.
Okay, we start with socialism. Do we also start with the Soros group?
Right. Who do you think is selling all this socialism? You think
it's Soros.
Right. And of course, let's not forget our dearly beloved, for Christ's sake, the upper senator that just got in a world of shit over his boat. Kerry? Yeah. Senator Kerry. His wife owns Heinz.
Yes.
But he claims that he's a communist. And that if you knew what communism was, you would pray to be a communist. Well,
mm-hmm.
I know what a communist is, and I don't want any part of it. Here's Kerry, worth billions, and wants to be a communist? No, he wants you to be a communist.
Right.
Uh-huh. And everybody says, well, it's such a good idea. No, it isn't. They never think it through. If you take the premise of communism, that everybody should receive whatever they need according to their needs, and produce according to their abilities,
Now that sounds great. Until you look at it with one goddamn ounce of common sense. Who makes the decision what I can produce and what I need?
They're certainly not going to let me make it by myself because everybody else has got to pay for it.
So the moment you put somebody in to make that decision for you, you've suddenly gotten rid of every freedom known to mankind. You don't even have the freedom of thought anymore. If he says you're good at the mechanics and you've got to fix 10 cars a day, and he says, well, I think I'd be better changing tires than working on the motors, they string your ass up. Because you're an enemy of the state.
Hello, it's Pete.
Just getting in?
Yeah, just getting in. Just finished my study group.
Oh. Well, you've had a hell of a session. You can hear it all online when we're through.
Oh, okay. You know, let's
get that thing and throw it up, too. But that's the whole nature of the thing. And when you look at communism with just any degree of common sense, you know it won't work. Neoliberal fascism, none of them will work. The only system of government that we ever had that actually worked and prospered was Holy Law. The only one. And Holy Law, when it's run through the priesthood and the system of elders and what have you in the tribes, believe it or not, is nothing more than a Republican form of democracy like the United States does. And with the priesthood making sure that everything stays honest. That's what it was designed to do. And the Levites sold that out. Nothing else will work. Okay, any more questions? It's been a long session.
It's been a good session. I just want to know when the hell is going to start this fight.
We're already in prep, honey. When you started getting those organizations and backgrounds on those people, that was the start.
Okay.
And that was a damn good start. We're trying to run.
At best, with our effort, what are we trying to do? What outcome?
If we can get everybody,
are we just delaying the ultimate time, or are we trying to stop it, or what?
At the rate we're going, all we're doing is fighting a delaying action. But if we can get everybody's head out of their ass and get about this agenda to the exclusion of anything else, as far as what we're doing, well, I'm not talking about the private lives. You got a case of the ass with somebody over there, do your own invocation, put it on a shit stick, we'll blow that as we go. But when we are doing our invocations, we need everybody we can get, and we need everybody doing this thing at the same time as a militarily structured unit, because the timing is everything when it comes to firepower. But you can't be injecting some piece of horse shit in it. Evidently, the Jean Marie episode did not get through. But let me go through it one more time. I had Jean Marie, Diane, and Shiloh sitting around Shiloh's kitchen table teaching them how to handle these things, swords, what have you. They have copies of my sword and a copy of my shield that they can use in addition. And we were targeting, setting up people, and learning how at the time. We were still getting some good results. They were the ones that put stupid in George Bush's ass at another session. And we were targeting, and we targeted Hillary Clinton. We got through, putting the whole thing together, and Jean Marie tells us she'd done some goddamn thing entirely different than the other three of us. Well,
I told her, I said, okay. But that's not the way this thing works. I didn't throw her after anything. But Hillary Clinton walked free. We barely had a goddamn hair's effect on her. Because one person got their goddamn stupidity and put a soap opera in the middle of what we were doing. It's neither a joke, nor is it a goddamn fairy tale. So when we take on one and we want a sword in their ass, I am not talking about putting it between their eyeballs. I say ass, I mean ass. That's how we got to get it. And that whole goddamn invocation thing that we did against Hillary amounted to a popcorn fart in a hurricane. Simply because one idiot did something else. And that will get all of us killed. It's the simplest thing in the world. If you've got some jackass over here that you need to turn into an alligator, all right, do that on your own time. Call one of us, we'll help you. But not in the middle of our main goddamn objective invocation. And we've got people doing that. And by God, I want it stopped. But you can tell the failure rate. Or you can tell by the success rate. So when we're targeting, and I want blue eyes, I didn't say version of green, but across, so you can be thinking, okay, God damn it, I want that one. If I didn't want it, I wouldn't be talking about it. I wouldn't have targeted it. If it wasn't worth bidding, I wouldn't waste my time on it. And I damn sure wouldn't waste yours. So, when we turn into these people, we get together, get everybody on this goddamn page, and take that son of a bitch point by point, we'll take them all down, and we can turn this planet. And failing that, the old man is going to ask us. We can do it with the group we got right now. We can rip their goddamn ass up one side and down the other. There's not a damn thing they can do about it. They come to get me and throw me in jail. The only thing they're going to do is make me mad and make you madder. And that one gets worse. Because we know when we're doing these things. We know how to do them. We're doing them now nationwide. You got Ross on one coast and Eric on the other. Doesn't seem to hurt us a bit when we do things. As a matter of fact, when Ross and Eric decided to uncrank a goddamn Force 5 hurricane, the next day the bitch was a two and the next day it was a storm. So, it's not that we can't do these things, it's that somebody wants to put turkey game in the middle of these goddamn things that have global importance. And that's got to stop. Or I'm going to stop somebody. I'm not going to let this planet go to hell simply because someone's got a rag tangent that amounts to about a pound of shit. If that's something personal, fine, we can do that too. But not what I'm targeting. We unload on somebody's head, it's not a fireworks display for the enjoyment of the 4th of July. I want that son of a bitch to be on the receiving end of the Normandy and a Hiroshima all at the same time. And that's what we're going to do. Or you're going to get cranked. That choice suddenly is yours, not mine. But if you think the Nephilim can't take you apart, give them an opening. Put one of your pussy tangents in it and see how quick they wrap your goddamn ass in one. They are master metaphysicians, too. Unfortunately, they're moralist bastards. If we take one group and make a team and target somebody, and they do just that, get together, and, well, they don't have to do it at the same time. Let's just say we take five people and one target. Okay, here's what you guys do. Get it done. And one of them doesn't do it for whatever jackass reason, move off on some goddamn nitty-tangent about it.
going to work, and that's going to fail. The whole goddamn mess is going to come out with part of what we want. Well, I don't want part of it, I don't want it all. And we can do that. We split up in about three things. It won't matter what time of the day I do mine, as long as I do mine and do it correctly. That's the secret. Now, when we can do them together, we multiply firepower between us to draw on each other. And we multiply firepower a hell of a lot. And we can take these sons of bitches and tie their ass holes in square knots. But we've got to be about it instead of, yippity. I've been telling people this stuff was coming since day one. The bullshit you're standing neck deep in right now is explained in the AED. And it's going to get worse. Because the AED has some things in it that's a hell of a lot worse than we're at yet. But it's coming. And if you want to find the Soroses and the Buffets and all these manipulators and the Bilderbergers and all those people, read the chapters with Justinian and Petronius. I took two characters and got them all. It's there. We're in it. Neck deep. And it's going to get deeper. But we have the ability to turn it completely around. But we've got to do it. We can't pussy about it. We've got to do it. That's going to be the easiest goddamn thing in the world. It won't be the easiest thing in your life, that's for sure. And it's going to be a little inconvenient. You may have to spend an hour a week. But that's all right. If you want to turn this thing around, or you want to hand it to the bastards on a silver platter, and for those of us that have children, that is absolutely not an option. Absolutely not. I don't care whether our kids are still in diapers, whether they're off in jackass, what they're doing. It's beside the point. I am not permitting a bunch of goddamn socialists to hand my son anything. Now, he can be dumb enough to do it, but that's on his head. I'm not going to let somebody do it with this kind of anger and all this other horseshit. It ain't happening. And I don't think any of the rest of you are going to let it happen either knowingly. Okay, any other questions?
Not a question, but Eric, just so you know, I already sent you that thing again.
Yeah, I got it.
And Eric, you were left to answer your question after the answer. Taking Soros, because he's the money man. He is part of the one world manipulators, and he is the money man supplying all of the foot soldiers on the ground. In other words, he funds the entire infrastructure. That's why he's top of the list.
He's the one paying the people to infiltrate the tea parties and try to be the instigators and all that bullshit.
Foodlon.org, the bullies and the mockers and the trouble starters, the mindless foot soldiers, and his group are writing our legislation according to his dictates. They're writing Obama's legislation. They wrote the health care, they wrote the stimulus bill. Apollo Alliance.
Okay, I'm sorry, Kitty, go ahead.
Well, it's just George Soros is work, handiwork, and he is the puppet master, pulling the strings, and the funding money. Bernanke answers to him, Hillary Clinton answers to him. He is top of the He writes himself God. Okay, he's got a messianic complex, and the queen is subservient to him.
Okay, I've got one more thing to say, Barney.
All right.
We all have our individual curses. Mm-hmm. What we need to do tonight before we go to bed is to do a curse on George Soros.
Yeah, for the hell of it.
Well, I was thinking about making him a blue sword pincushion, and getting that list that you read off of what to charge the blue sword with, and just, seeing exactly how many I can pull and stick in him.
That sounds good.
Him, Bernanke, my arm will probably get tired before I run out of swords.
Bobby, sometimes Paul, can you call me?
Say that again, Eric.
At some point tomorrow, can you call me in the morning before noon my time?
Probably.
Okay. No matter how early? No. I'll be in my office by 8.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got a VA run tomorrow. Nothing earth-shattering. Just a routine paper.
If I'm not, call it so.
Okay. But yes, can do. Not a problem.
But it has something to do with what we're talking about right this very moment.
Okay.
The other thing that I'd like to add is there is a tremendous amount of information coming from these George Soros organizations, and what it is and having to do with is the influx of what we're going to be seeing and experiencing with the 501c3 organizations. The big deal on the 501c3s is their nonprofit. Insofar as that nonprofit status is a huge factor of things, because what's going to happen is all of these organizations are going to continue to spew unbelievable shit, and it's going to come from every injection that they have, and the way they're going to do it. And they're already doing it to a massive degree. We're seeing the handprints and a lot of things that we're seeing already with respect to these 501c3s. These guys are getting enormous sums of money to go ahead and do issues specific. And when they do these issues specific, it can either be for a candidate or against a candidate. And they're going to try to do it like, for example, once these newly elected officials start taking office, they're going to buy ad that is going to be programming people on the way to think about everything. It's everything across the board, anything that hits life that goes towards that one world government, new world order regime, and it is totally funded by the George Soros group of people. And the tone that I've seen in this last week is like nothing I've ever seen before.
Let me add to that too. What they're going to do is to do these things where call in to object to this, to call in, call your congressman, and they'll give the number to call. And of course, what will happen is their office will be inundated with phone calls. They can't conduct business, any other business than that. And you can bet it's only going to be to those select ones that they target. And there's people out there dumb enough that they'll call just because the television commercial tells them to do that. I've been through those battles before. The other thing too about these 501c3 organizations, as opposed to others like the a PAC or what they call 527, is you do not have to disclose the contributors to a 501c3. So all that money that comes into the 501c3s is anonymous.
Who is speaking? I don't recognize the voice.
It's Pete.
Oh, okay.
Aren't they also
very many of them eligible for government money. Match their contributors on the other hand.
Well, usually any 501c3 can put in for a government grant, and certainly a lot of them have experienced grant writers, and they probably, Shilon and I facetiously concluded, but there is a certain degree of truth to it, too. The easiest way to get a government grant is to be buddies with somebody on the board that makes the award.
How convenient for George Soros.
Yeah.
He appointed that board.
Exactly. But the big deal about this is that the amount of money that they're going to have to throw is going to be seen on both sides of the fence. It'll either destroy a candidate or promote one. And the bypass is a way of going around that Supreme Court ruling, or not the Supreme Court ruling. So what happens is these 501c3s can throw a tremendous amount of money on behalf of a candidate that the candidate doesn't have to report is as a donation, because technically it's not.
They've been doing that for years.
Yes, they have been doing it for years, but what they're doing...
This is not new. But this is not new.
No, what is new, Jade, is the notches that they're turning it up is going to be in the billions upon billions of dollars that's going to be more controlling than anything we've ever seen before. And with the vileness of how they're hitting it with has already turned up tremendous notches since the election.
They've been rigging the elections for years, for years. That's why I got into so much trouble when I was in high school, and even in junior high.
Well, it's time we start doing something about it.
Yeah, because I was bringing all of this stuff out, and I can't tell you how many times I was sent to the principal's office for being so defiant.
Okay, you've told us that before.
You too.
Okay, Patrick, moving on. That was 20 years ago.
And we're still doing the same thing now.
We're
doing worse now.
We had the biggest handprint of the entire Tea Party blast that we started a year ago with money and media not a factor. It did not matter what the media said. It did not matter how much money was behind somebody. The Democrats threw in almost double what any of the Tea Party candidates were given or had opportunity to pay, and it didn't matter. So our effect is the one thing that they are not counting on.
That's right. So the one they can't do a damn thing about.
I'm
going to throw this suggestion out here. One of the things that it may have had an unintended consequence, but we probably want to look at how we rephrase it, because there was a lot of money dumped into the race against Harry Reid. And had money been a factor there, Harry Reid would have lost. So we may want to tweak that statement a little bit more.
Pete, that's probably a very good thought. That Harry Reid brought out more than just money. They bust in illegal aliens from Los Angeles at the last minute in his favor, because it was obvious that he was going to lose. So they pulled at the unions. I'm talking about AFL-CIO, SEIU, all funded by George Soros, paid for and bust in at the last minute an absolute unadulterated condensed version of voter fraud. Then the minute that you call them on it, George Soros had appointed the Secretary of State, who decides whether or not it's fraudulent in their vote. He owns the Secretary of State in Nevada. So that one was going down no matter what kind of money through any way or another.
Yeah, that one was. Pete is right. We've got to rephrase
we have to rephrase it, because whether or not the money is that issue or not the issue, the fact is that it's having... But we've got to even hit it with more impact than that. We've got to block their minds from seeing it.
Yeah.
We've also got to take out their infrastructure. George Soros' plan of action, and he has repeated it 4 times already, the exact same plan every time, and now he's perpetrating it on the United States.
He can't get away with that without Bernanke. That's why Bernanke sent.
Right. George Soros' plan, his plan of attack is from the top down, from the bottom up, and from the inside out, all at once.
So that is, that's what we're working on for strategy, to be able to take him and all his apart. The best way to get him from top down, from bottom up, and inside out. And outside in, as far as I'm concerned.
Before I run out of swords, and it may take a while to know.
But the Cowboys won today, so, you know, I'm feeling like throwing a little swords around.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
I heard a joke today. What does the city of Dallas and Brokeback Mountain have in common?
I'm scared to find out.
There's one of the Cowboys that suck.
Yeah. It sucked today. Hey, they caught the cat is looking because everybody underestimated Jason Garrett for the new head coach. So the Levites were not in booking today. I couldn't feel a thing, and I didn't help them. And I thought, I'm just going to watch till they start throwing the shit around, and they didn't. They could do no wrong today. So, it was, and it beat the Giants, too, out of New York. Division game, it spanked them. So, we'll see. Now the hotel's already talking like, ooh, they've lost 7 games already. And they were 1-7 going into today. Everybody's like, I don't know what turned out better than that. Yeah.
Good night, yeah. Yeah, now they have a record
that's equivalent of Detroit. Yeah, okay. All right, good night, Eric. That's the importance of the battle, and teamwork.
Yep.
The exponential power is going to take it all.
Well, Bobby, tell me this. Even if you take out Soro, doesn't he have a hundred of different other people in place just to take over the operation? You gotta, I'm with Eric, but you gotta go higher.
Well, we do. There's no question about the fact that we gotta hit these bastards from the heaviest hammer that we can get our hands on. No question about that. But the fact that they have people that they're going to put in, and they are, doesn't change the fact that we need to knock the piss out of them ourselves because nobody else is going to do it.
Again, Soros is a billionaire that's putting his money on it. Okay, he's about the only one really funding all this stuff, other than the U.S. government. So the taxpayers, at the expense of the legislation and the earmarks and crap that are put on target over now, without George Soros' money, these organizations wither. Nobody else is willing to put their money into it, so we got to take their money away. That's the reason for him, first. Nobody else is, you can check, nobody else is giving them what amounts to ill beans. He's funding them all, by the millions at a time.
Yep.
And he did it by stealing the money through hedge funds, taking the economies of 4 other countries. He has shut down the economies in 4 other nations. Great Britain, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, and Thailand. Completely crashed them.
He
gave them a new economy and a new money.
Bosnia.
Well, we gotta take him out. We gotta take him out, but I'm sure he's got staff and all of that, you got to do something like find a new cash flow somehow.
Well, when you're in place,
you're doing what you do.
Contest over the will, you know. When the guy, you take the guy out, there will be fighting over who gets the money, and that's what you want, too. See, yeah, he's going to have staff and that kind of a thing as far as handling certain things, but there's also going to be fight over control of that money, and that's something, too. You can get your enemy to fight with each other. That's always inspiring.
Four kids, 2 sons, 2 daughters. Don't you think there'll be some family fight over that money? We'd like to have an objective to see him as broke and in debt as he is rich.
Do you take these countries' money willingly? I mean, do they know that he...
Oh, no, they weren't willing. He set them up to fail and ruined their economy with hedge funds and manipulating their stock market. Roslyn, George Soros.
Hello now.
What was that name?
The economy is devaluated right now. I thought it wasn't worth staying.
That's why we got to get Ben Bernanke in the Fed.
Yeah.
We got to stop that. And Soros is behind it.
Roslyn, George Soros is so evil. And his family line is so evil that in the days of World War II, when Hitler was running amok, they changed the name so that he was going to go out and do the number against the Jews. And he's a Jew. He took and confiscated property. And he's come out saying since then that he doesn't regret it.
Any mistake at all. He is damn
who set up his protection?
Who set his protection?
Yeah, who was the metaphysician to do his protection?
Lucifer himself was on his shoulder.
So we can take that motherfucker out too.
That's right, and we've been trying to do that for about 135,000 years or more.
Why stop now?
Well, what makes you think we're stopping? You just haven't got that sound that's killed yet.
We're turning up the heat.
Yeah. Yep. Reminds me of one time when Mama took the rooster somewhere. The comment was that the sound bitch was so tough we couldn't get a fork in the gravy. Well, that's the way she was. That's the way Luke is. These guys are not amateurs, and you're going to have to pound the living hell out of them. But they're not invulnerable. We can get them. Now, we got to be about the business of getting them. You're worried about that? Well, we've already...
I need to see a picture of this ghost. I've never seen him.
Oh, it's evil. You can tell by looking at him. This is one evil bastard.
Yes, he is. There is no question about that. And one glance will tell you.
Charlie?
Hands out?
Against him.
Say it again.
We cast the demons out of him or put them against him?
Oh, we're going to put them against him.
Good. Somebody brought up the money factor also. We need to do something about that. We start losing it all.
Yep.
Well, you're throwing good money after bad when we put the brakes on every one of his organizations and set them to rolling backwards. You can throw good money after bad and throw good money after bad.
That's organizations. That's a lot.
Yes, sir. It's way, too much for anybody to comprehend, but he keeps establishing new ones on top of those.
That's the thing. It's like a chameleon. And that's a really good example of the types of things that have already been. But they'll come up with a brand new one. Just they'll create another situation to create another 501c3 to come up with another creation for the hitting of a target. And throw hundreds of millions, if not billions, in that one new issue.
He just gave $1.8 million right after the election to the Huffington Post and the MediaMatters.com, both very liberal media.com stuff, to buy 2 reporters in every state to go to the state capitol and spread liberal media about those the new people incoming in the state capitol. So he's not just on federal level, he's just on
federal level.
Every
okay, look, now, this is what I'm not understanding. This is my problem with it. Yeah, you say he was around in World War II. He was a boy in World War II. He's got to be old. So he's on a banana peel anyway. That's why I'm saying I'm sure they have built in, because they have to be anticipating his death. And they'll just switch it from one person to another person. I'm thinking more on targeting the whole conglomeration, and the whole thing. Because I'm sure he's doing it now, but like you said, Lucifer will abandon one person and get in another one. He's an opportunist.
And I don't think it's going to be that smooth, Rosie, if we upset their timing.
See, the other thing, too, that we don't know, and we don't think like these people think, they're so evil and so, ugh. The one thing that George Soros really doesn't have quite the handle on if he doesn't get to come back this time. That's one thing that's true on his behalf. That works in our favor. Well, let me tell you something. They probably have more funded science and other shit that's out there like that that would be doing the number to continue to keep it going, whether it's through his kids or anybody else, or even, for that matter, you know, it's like where the sci-fi technology comes in where you transfer all your memories to a computer so that you can live through your computer.
Just attacking him, you know, it's got to be a bigger, it's bigger than just him.
Well, but there is, because he is so well known and so high profile in comparison to others, there is a certain amount of shock value in taking him out, too.
Well, there is. Let me give you another pair that ain't any improvement. There is not nearly as rich. And that's Henry Kissinger over Big New Brzezinski. David Rockefeller is another one. I don't know how old David Rockefeller is. But the son of a bitch is still alive. And he's on the target committee yet. They're on the list. But killing these sons of bitches, we have to overcome a great deal of energy. And Luke didn't start him yesterday. Luke started the energy 50 generations back on that son of a bitch. He's very good at that kind of thing. There's a lot of energy there, and a lot of potential. Doesn't mean that we can't beat him. But we can't beat him with Quincy here and Billy Yonder. We need to hit that son of a bitch and keep hitting him. He will come down. He's not infallible. Luke is not infallible. He can be had. But he can't be had easy. He can't be had with Snigger here and Wimp Yonder. You really got to pound that son of a bitch. I know, I can.
Can we come up with some to turn their own energy against themselves?
Oh, yes. That's why we do it the way we do it. The first thing, when we take somebody like Soros, put him in a series of billy balls on own individuals, lower his ass into hell, and dump him, bind him there. Luke can't do anything about that. Luke can't throw him back out. He can't even make him comfortable. Now, needless to say, Luke doesn't like that. So the only thing he can do about that is cause he does otherwise. And I want him to do that because I have him under threat that the moment he does, I'll kill him. Before the time or not. So, he's caught the shift the sweat there, too. So we're not totally defenseless against these sons of bitches.
Well, the fact, too, that you mentioned charging the blue sword with righteous power and holy authority did not get past me. That means, that makes it indefensible, you know, more than charging it with the elements. Those two things make it indefensible against any demonic, any Nephilim, any socialists around here that might have a chance against it.
Yep, we can pound our goddamn ass to a fairly well, but we're the ones that's got to do it, and we've got to be about the business of doing it.
The other thing, Bobby, we need a very strong, powerful lead on these. Very strong and powerful.
Well, the only way I know to do that, and to get the firepower to put the shooting on it, is for us to light them up, make sure that we're going to be there. Let's start, say, on a Sunday, instead of starting at 8 o'clock for a training, which we did because of convenience, make it a point to be there, say, at 4 o'clock, because that's when Ross can get out.
Okay.
You follow? For the hell of it, do it at 2 o'clock on our time here. Give Ross a couple of hours, but like this section. This section now is 2.5 hours old.
Yeah.
as long as we have a very powerful energy voice, and the biggest thing I find is that when some of us leave, we go, of all the names and everything. Now, I know that that is very, very, that's not polite, because we're asking people to do things for us. They like to hear their names. They like to hear things pronounced. Even if it's not totally proper because it's in a different language, but at least say each name so that we all know that we can hear the names, say the names together, and that the people that are helping us are recognizable, and they recognize their names, and we get, you know, and that sort of thing. And when we say these words, these invocations, with enough power, and we're all talking together, we're all speaking it together, we're going at a nice pace, we can get the damn job done. But we can't get it done if we're going to fuck up.
Oh, you're right there, dear.
And I know that way back in the day when Kitty and I were saying these invocations, we'd say them together. We had the phones open. Nobody was on mute. And because we did everything, we spoke the words together in that powerful voice and pronounced everything so that it was audible and understandable, we did a lot of fucking damage.
Well, you still are. The only thing, even with this dim-dim, if you get a half a dozen telephones all talking at once, everybody's out of sequence because of the time delay in each telephone line.
No, we don't have, we can still go on mute on the dim-dim. I understand that. We have to do that.
Yeah, but everybody has to. You're absolutely right. That's why I was raising hell about a while ago. We have to be on top of this thing. If we have to take the time and say, all right, this is how you say absolute, the word is idia. Not idea, it's idia. If we have to do that, rehearse them, God damn it, let's do that, rehearse them so everybody can say them.
Okay, then what I think we should do is a night before we're actually going to pounce on these motherfuckers, we go through all of the angelic names, and we pronounce them. That way, when we actually do the invocations, we're there.
Yep. Go through, take their ass apart, be done with them. Not a problem.
Yeah.
And if we have to start at, say, 2 o'clock, so Ross can get in on every Sunday rather than every other Sunday to do these invocations, then let's do that. We're going to have to do that.
So be it. So be it. So we just do it. Period.
I'd like to suggest that up to us tomorrow, we start that.
Well, if we can get it all set by then.
Yeah, we can get synchronization.
Then we can, you know, tomorrow, now there's a new understanding of what that blue sword, the seven swords invocation is about. Bobby talked about swords tonight, but we didn't get to the seven swords for an explanation. The seven swords of the Most High, and exactly what that does. It calls people out of the woodwork, up out of the ground. PTSD survivors and sufferers, doctors, nurses, inside men that have a conscience. Somebody in MoveOn.org gets a high up, but he gets hit with one of our swords of truth, and then all of a sudden they've got a conscience to cut loose all of the underhanded dealings. The seven swords is a bottom-up attack. And understanding the power in each sword of the Most High is not necessarily a weapon, as you would picture a sword, but it is a person in a position to do something in the vein of that righteousness.
Yep.
selling
them out of the woodwork just like we did the Tea Party.
Right. Invoking for the grassroots organization invocation, and look what happened. Tea Party changed the entire face of the political landscape. We can do the same thing with the Seven Swords, and when it says slay them and slay them all, that doesn't mean physically kill their body necessarily. That might mean expose the inner workings of the organization so that it fails.
Right.
Or it might mean sending somebody to prison. Slay them, stop them in their tracks. And punish them for how they are.
Can we get this together for tomorrow?
The thing is there. The Seven Swords invocation is there. We've already written it. We've pronounced it a couple of times. We just need to have the library.
Everybody on the same page between the ears. Right.
I was kind of hoping you'd do that when you were talking about swords tonight. And I was so blown away with it, I didn't think to ask. And when you had everybody on, I've heard a couple hang-ups. You don't have anybody now, but that's,
it would be nice if you had gone over that, the Seven Swords.
Yeah, well, I didn't think about it.
That invocation it could be as massive as the Tea Party for a movement.
And, by the way, Adam, you
have the new add-in to that invocation, in case anybody didn't notice. Is that it's all victims of socialism become anger. So we're not just calling PTSD victims, we're calling all victims of any kind of socialism. And that may be people who know it or they don't.
Is it living and dead or just living?
So we didn't determine that, but I wouldn't have any problem making living and dead, because Shiloh and I, at least I don't know how many. We didn't count them. I don't think we could have counted them. That spirits that we let loose are very grateful to us. And that they are looking to do us a favor. And they don't care. They'll turn the main gate to hell now if they know that they're in the right path. And there are multitudes. So we can send them without any problems at all. And if we needed to just have somebody resource a nap from the time he wakes up to the time he wakes up again, we can do that. And we've got proof to do it with. And they're victims.
It could also be utilized to somehow warn us in advance.
Everything that they can do, they do.
Well, and they can try to get through a monkey wrench in all those programs, all those organizations. But here's the emphasis. So because that's what I want, something that can, something to reactivate the whole machine, because I'm just sure that they have anticipated that he's going to be 80-some years old, he's going to be dead soon. So, I would like that. If we get him and then send them in to mess up all the organizations.
Well, as a matter of fact, in one of the invocations when we did the Seven Swords, I sent the troops to go ahead and do a particular job. And you know what? Glenn Beck comes out with the whole information about George Soros that's subsequently followed by a list of all the other organizations that we didn't even know that those were specifically attributable to George Soros.
Yes, his 3-day seminar on George Soros is one of our hand grants.
Exactly. Because he was never even in favor.
The other day, and they were talking about the extension of the tax cuts, and Colton had a pretty interesting idea to increase the taxes for the top one half of 1%, which is going to end up getting Soros, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, all those are very, very tippy-top-hard liberals anyway.
Yeah, but ain't nobody going after them if they don't pay.
But hey, just the idea is that you know, we can you know, you want to target a tax toward a certain income level? Here, let's go to the tippy top then.
Yeah, right.
Well, right, we've got to ban all exemptions too for their low exemption.
Well, the bottom line of the whole thing is that thanks to the ghost troops, that whole information that is facilitating all of our library, in addition and in conjunction with our invocations to bring it all out, that's some of the stuff that happened. And we have a lot of case about
we can continue using them if they want to do something.
Yeah, they want to do, Roswell, the truth of the matter is that they want to do something. They are of utmost thankfulness and appreciation for what Bobby and I did. Anything that they can do and everything that they can do to go ahead and facilitate that process is something they're on our side for.
Well, let's do it right now.
And then let's invoke them into it.
Well, that's why we're not going to limit it to the living and dead, because we got a bunch of...
We got a bunch of
ones that we'd be out of our goddamn mind to cut out of the process. And they're already pissed that these people, and they'll go haunt somebody's goddamn ears until they wake up, and then they'll be pissed. But can we do that? You bet we can. And there's not a goddamn thing Luke or anybody else can do about it.
There we go.
Okay, we're in this fight, but if we can get everybody's head out of their ass and get about this business, we can turn this thing. But we can't do it with pussy here and dilly yonder horseshit. It just ain't going to happen. I get any more of that, I'm going to stick it to somebody's ass who fairly well. They don't want to do our invocation and stay the hell out. Don't put that silly horse in it. Because I'm going to put a hammer from the top down. And the old man has killed generals of mine for disobeying orders. I've got a dead staff marshal for disobeying my orders. So I'm certainly not going to put up with any of this bullshit here. It's too important. Everybody's farm and everybody's kids are on. We're the only ones that can do anything about it. The only ones that know how, we're the only ones that have the firepower, and we're the only ones willing to stand up and take the goddamn job on. Unfortunately, I don't think anybody volunteered for that. We knew when we decided that we would have the truth that we got it. And part of the orders on that, read it again. You go where I send you. And all I want you to do is your invocations and do them properly. And if you can't do them together as units, all right, then still do them. It works. Believe me, the difference is one snowflake out of a winter difference. I would like to have us all together, because then we can sit down and have Kitty fix us all big snivels and everything. I like that part, but...
Well, if you come to my house, it's Beanie Weenie. That's the kid.
But in the law of the goddamn thing, we can do this thing. We are doing it. We're knocking the piss out of things. But I don't need somebody on their own plot agenda while we're trying to do something. We talk it over, get it together, that's what we target, that's the one we do. And if we've got to change an agenda, okay, we can do that, but not in the middle of the invocation. these people, I don't care how big they are. There was the old saying, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Or the farther. And while that may be true, the bigger they are in this one, the deeper I get to put them into hell. And the sooner I get to do that, the better. But the only way you want to save the planet is to put them in hell. That's simple. There's no choice at all, which, whether it's a do or don't.
We've got all the forces in it. Also, the rewrite on it is hugendous. So, I'm content with that one until we're certain that we've got the right strategy to proceed.
I've got a sign off. I've got a call that came in that I have to return.
Okay. And concentrating on your spirit rather than your physical. Because you're feeling it with your spirit. So, you know, be in Hathor.
Okay.
And that will help you start feeling things. Live in Hathor now. You're the one who brought that up. You're the one who propelled all of this with that comment you made off the cuff of the plane above controls the one below.
I told you about my problem. asking for eternal life and forgetting to ask for eternal youth.
Right, well, I'm telling y'all.
I have coming up to that, but I can see them well when I pull them.
Well, if you can see them, then relax. You pull them right-handed, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well then relax your left hand and start seeing your body of light. Put your spirit out of your hand. Push it out until you can see your little spirit outline outside of your hand and then tap it with that sword 3 feet away. You'll feel it.
It's like air.
Yeah, exactly. And how could it be air when you didn't move anything?
Right.
Virtue is your awareness level of your own self and your abilities and that around you. So just start with your little bitty. That puff of air, where did it come from? Nobody's blowing on your hand, it has to be that source. Pretty soon it's going to, you'll feel the cold. Then you can start feeling the, when you change it, feel the heat, feel the weight. And then make it longer. You know, pull the handle back, leave the tip in your hand and pull the handle back, and now tap it again, it's longer.
It'll just pull right out. It'll tip right where you want.
And then feel it again. Charge it like Tommy said, with a concept. And then charge it with air and study it. Feel it one at a time. Pass it around a little bit in the air. Practice with it. Practice. It's fun because it's instant gratification. It's instant success and it's instant gratification. And every time you do it, you get a little better.
Yep. The only thing you do, you can modify one so it's just like a favorite toy or something, but never put it back. always invest it in somebody.
No. Did you start back in your belly and being charged with all kind of help?
Oh, yeah. No.
I mean, there's a lot of people that you can invest them in. I mean, now we're still both George Bushes, Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Dan Quayle.
Don't forget Harry and Billy.
Oh, right. You know, the list just goes on. And, of course, there's Vangel. He's still available. What the hell is that woman out of California that's up on Essex charges to? Maxine Waters.
Yeah. Jerry Brown.
Oh, yeah. Jerry Brown. Oh, I don't care what you do with that son of a bitch.
Yeah. Jerry and the challenge with that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's just all kinds of places you can leave one.
Robert, and one of the things too is, as you hear the names, whenever, like, all the names that both Bonnie and Kitty said just a second or so ago, I had stuck a blue sword in, again, as they said it. How long does it take these blue swords to the wound to manifest in them?
Instantly.
Is it just a spiritual wound?
Yeah, you damage their spirit instantly. They were playing jackass with Kitty the other night. Was trying to do it an intimidation number. It didn't work very well. And she stuck the blue sword in Enki's ass. And he had to go get repairs. Stopped all that bullshit. I know she hadn't had the problem since.
Well, no, didn't the problem change? That's when they came in, before they started counting us as a group, that's when they tried it with me. And what happened was, I was doing my personal improvement invocation, which is a model after the global prosperity. But I changed it, put my name in there, and some things that I want to develop about myself. And I did it. I thought, okay, so I make myself four bodies of light for every level of heaven and let them connect it to me. Like a big string. I had four in Athena, four in Karma, Ea, Hesterah, Hathorah, and Hathor, and all of them connected to me, and I thought, well, let's just do this like a choir in unison, doing that invocation. I charged them all with the elders on their own plane. The east body had air, and the south body had fire, the west water, the north earth. So every body of light had its own element, and on every level. And we were invoking that invocation And all of a sudden, I started feeling like there was fighting me, something trying to fight me, coming at me. And it felt like it was spirits, but they felt like little bitty, irritating, demonic things. Minions is what it felt like. Well, this pissed me off, so I sent up another body of light to fight that. And I had the blue sword, and this was, after I found out, I charged it with rage and vicious, and it just intent to kill, immediate death, all that kind of stuff, and with the fighting, and the more I fought, the more of them showed up. So I'm just scratching everything, and I got to where I couldn't see anything except burning rage. I was so mad, and fire. Vicious, merciless, vengeance, and I just went on a rampage, and then it was over all of a sudden. Well, I surveyed the battlefield, and I see all these little dead, dark things that I think are demonic minions, and two Nephilim. I said, there's two Nephilim, and they're dead. They're right there, laying there in the midst of all those other things. And I thought, oh, shit, fuck them hell. Good, goddammit. And then came back, finished my invocation, tried to call Bobby, couldn't get him. And so he came back and said, oh, you were fighting yourself. No, I wasn't. I know I wasn't. Why would I do that? I've just been doing this for years. That's when he found out they're duplicating. Trying to duplicate our bodies of life and duplicate our invocations. They couldn't duplicate my bodies of life and take control of them because they were still attached to me. I didn't let them go. I put a silver cord on all of them, all the way up and down my string, and stayed attached to me. So that spoiled their efforts to take them away. So they tried to distract. Was starting to fight. And I don't know what happened to those two Nephilim, but I certainly know that they were laying there in the dead pile by the time that I slowed down my rage. So, and then 2 days later, that's when they tried it on the same trick on the whole group. And that was when Shiloh was reading the Seven Swords the first night. And Shiloh was the only one I could really feel. It was stressing me because everything was dark. It was dark. The invocation was not, it didn't feel like it was getting through, and I couldn't find anybody except Shiloh. So, that was kind of weird, too. That's when Bobby came back and said, well, they were doing it, and he kicked their ass.
Well, on that night, when I took out a parameter, I left early because I felt somebody jackassing around. And remember, I got back in late. Well, when I got topside, my troops were on standing easy. Everybody was in formation, but they were standing easy, as we call it. That's not normal. All the horsemen were in the same boat, so we mounted up and we went up a couple of dozen levels or whatever it was to where the archangels were. I wanted to see what the hell was going on. And everybody had sort of a sly-ass grin about it. I got up there and these guys were on stand down. They had just kicked the living pit out of all the Nephilim that had done that because they take a damn view of being counterfeited. And they just screamed house. God, they beat the piss out of everybody in sight. Oh, believe me, these guys are not amateurs. They are damn good warriors. And they just took the people that were involved in that imitation, our body of light thing, and all the bullshit that was about it, and just pounded the lips.
done and just beat the hell out of them. Is it when you see these guys get mad and get to pray? We've got some firepower support. But they did a number. You might know that the first time they would try to counterfeit some of our more powerful bodies of light, like for the seven swords, we put the archangels in them too, if you remember. And these are the ones the guys tried to counterfeit. First black out of the goddamn box.
What purpose would they use counterfeit for?
Well, if we charge their ball that they've made, they're in charge of it. They let us load it, and then they can go dispose of it. Or use it against us.
Oh.
But they got caught at that one. That one won't work anymore. But if we spend all of our time and energy loading their balls, then they just take them out and float away with them. If we put a ball in hell, we're the only ones that can take it out. So it's their ball, and they make us think that we put it in hell, but they're the ones that did it. A split second later, they can take it right back out. We wouldn't know. Rendering us to a total case of none effect, for the want of a better term.
They got more tricks than I don't.
Oh, they're right.
They're very proud of them. After that nasty body whooped their ass, I can feel the desperation and the frustration. They really found a trick.
Is it that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the clients that are working with them. Because the minute that they have a new trick, somehow or another, one or the other of us figures it out. We figure it out in anticipation, and I promise all of you right now, if they try to handle me first, I'm going to give them all I got. And it ain't going to get very far, because my first thing of failure is to wind the old man. Somebody's fighting with my stuff again. So, that's if I can't handle it. But if they try on me first, then I'm all over it. I can take on shit.
And, when was that? Because I'm wondering when it was when I was seeing those people standing over us and looking past.
Oh, this was over the last,
It was Wednesday, wasn't it?
It was Thursday. Thursday, we shot over at the Seven Swords for the first time.
Yeah.
It was Tuesday when it happened to me, when they were interfering with my
self-improvement. That's about the time that I saw those heads standing up and like they were looking down. I don't know who they were.
But you could be getting all kinds of warnings. They could be some of those people that Bobby had shot on release.
Could be.
Trying to bring you a warning.
Yeah, because they are fanatically dedicated to us, to the occurrence. They know for a fact that they spent all that goddamn time and only the occurrence got them out of it. And then we told them, you got any buddies, family, whatever, go get them too. There was a lot of victims, and they would drag Catholic priests and drag us, to take them and drag them to us. And I said, no, we're not letting that son of a bitch go.
Hell no.
exercising was a convenience that certainly wasn't necessary. But it wasn't necessary for them to screw the whole planet back to so get told to unscrew it, you know. You'd think a technologically advanced society of that degree wouldn't screw up its own planet, or would know how to unscrew it without creating another goddamn 50,000 layers of problem on top of it. But the more I study the Nephilim, the more I know exactly where the Kakadu, the goddamn stupid redneck, the street punk, all of them got their mentality from. Very, very simple. But you see it all over the goddamn Nephilim.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yep.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. B